typical. So this is, will be just I'll mark this word, so this will be like alpha, just like, let's see. But because we're outside some, yeah, I'll explain why I'm doing that. Must be this number of vertices here. This arm of length Q, and this arm of length R. So again, I explain it. Just you have considered as a Coxeter diagram of a Coxeter group. So this Coxeter group corresponds to matrices which defined like this will be generators, vectors. So they're all of length negative one, and then if they join by an H, then just the E, like AI, EJ is equal to 1. So like relations will be just, we have S cubed plus R. Vertices here, and just the relations will be SI, SJ. MJ is equal to 1, and of course MJ here either is equal to 2 or 1 if I is equal to 0, 3. So this is a, you can consider this a reflection group. So just so you consider the, so the corresponding lattice, so we call this like lattice M, P, Q, R. So you,
Igor, you can tell which ones are 2 and which ones are 3.
Okay, 3 when they are joined by an H, and 2 when they are commute, so they are not in range. And 1 if just this is I is equal to J. So just, of course, it also defines the lattice. So this will be, as an abelian group, is generated by, so by generators like alpha 1 plus alpha q plus r. And then just, so this is equal to 1 again, joint or not joint, right? 0, 1. Minus, so it's minus 2 vectors. So every alpha I is minus 2 vectors. And of course, this group is realized by reflection. So I take any element I and consider the reflections. X equals to X. And this is exactly realization of this group, this Coxeter group, in this as a group of isometry of the lattice. So yeah, Coxeter group, so it's again notation. PQR, and this is just sitting in a token group. So the lattice, so the signature of this lattice is depends on PQR. So if you look at the sum of this inverses of this lattice.
Yeah, whenever I draw the TPQR diagram, that music plays.
So if the sum of inverses of this number is greater than 1, of course you can classify them, and this is spherical geometry. So then just this is signature is negative. Bit. So if this is equal to 1, it's symmetric. So this is negative. Bit. The rank is cubic, yeah. So if this is symmetric. So it has a one radical. Of course, you can classify all such PQR with this property. Of course, we all know what is this. This corresponds to the regular polyhedron in R3, I think. So this is, in this case, it will be like, for example, like, I will assume that all of them, I think I already assumed it, and I assume this is a greater than 1. So then this corresponds, for example, to N. This is the dihedral group of 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 3, 2, 3, 4, 2, 3, 5. And this, of course, leads to the usual Dynkin diagram and the theory of separate order, for example, to refine to the, of course, E8 diagram. So 2, 3, 4 will be 7 diagram. 2, 3, 3 is 6 diagram. And this case is just DN diagram. So this case corresponds to what's called a fine Dynkin diagram. So again, it's easy to. So this corresponds to 2, 4, 6, 3, 3, 3, yeah. And and 2, 2, 4, 4, yeah, 2, 4, 6. And this is just a fine Dynkin diagram, for example. This is diagram obtained from this diagram by adding one more vertex. Like, for example, 2, 4, 4 corresponds to adding one vertex here. And this becomes 2, 4, 4 diagram. 3, 3, 3 corresponds to adding one vertex here. This kind of extended Dynkin diagram, a fine diagram. And 3, 3, 6 corresponds to adding here. It becomes E9 diagram. But as soon as this will be less than 1, this is hyperbolic. This is becomes a lattice of signature 1 and whatever next negative, and you can even know what's your discriminant of this lattice. So discriminant, of course, this is just the absolute value of the determinant of a Gram matrix of this case. So it is equal to PQR minus PQ minus PR. So it's never unimodular lattice. So as soon as the sum of greater than 1 is, so the unimodular lattice is all in the case of this famous triple. This gives you. And this, of course, famous E10. So you take this lattice and extend one by one more, get, which is kind of ubiquitous just everywhere, especially also in string theory. So this is just E10 lattice. And you'll see. So it's also in algebraic geometry. So it has like arm 7, 3, and 2. Okay, this is unimodular lattice. In fact, just like every unimodular, it's even lattice because it's generated by vectors whose norm is even. So just so it's even lattice, so it's unimodular lattice, it's indefinite lattice of signature 1, 9. So by Milner theorem, of course, it decomposes. So this is an object to hyperbolic plane and the lattice E8, but my E8. So just like in Lie theory, it comes with opposite sign, of course. It becomes positive, definite, and so in algebraic geometry, signature, hyperbolic signature is negative, I think. So this is just direct sum of these two unimodular lattices. This is a negative, definite unimodular lattice, even. And this is just hyperbolic plane, just 0, 1. So this is just this kind of diagram, especially, of course, like finite diagram, of course, you know this just everywhere in mathematics. This is one of the most beautiful theories of mathematics can be described in terms of this Dynkin diagrams of finite type, it's called. And the diagram of parabolic type, from just this is just equal to 1, also very well known, and this is really common, for example, the Hadara description of a degenerate fibrous in the elliptic surfaces, like you have vibration, algebraic surface, mapped to a curve, and the fibers will be general fiber elliptic curves, and then degenerate. And to describe reducible fibers, you use this Dynkin diagram. So they are kind of has a very old history. And the Dynkin diagrams, which are hyperbolic, so appear also, like they come really arises. This case arises even earlier, it's really 19th century. This is a work of Sigismund Cantor, Austrian mathematician, I think, who first introduced to mathematics these hyperbolic groups and just related to the Cremona transformations. So let me just explain shortly. So this is kind of, by the way, you can ask all this kind of usual question which you ask about lattices, like, for example, when they are reflective. So remember, you define reflective lattice. So which of the lattices are reflective? So it means this is just a special basis in this lattice. But of course, it could be some other basis in this lattice, such that the reflection group will be a finite index in the orthogonal group. So just so this is just the list of reflective lattices. So this lattice is 2, 3, n, then n in between 10 and 7, 2, 4, 5, 2, 4, 6, 3, 3, 4, 3, 3, 5, and 3, 3, 6. But again, so we say the basis, we say the basis is called crystallographic. Okay, so, for example, beta 1, beta n, in any lattice, but okay, for example, you can take this one. It's called, in any lattice, it's called crystallographic. This is called Pauling-Wimbert. If reflection group, if the reflection group generated by the reflection of its vector, then yes, beta is a finite index in orthogonal group. Okay, this is very, very general. So, of course, what it means, just if you take a reflection group in the corresponding hyperbolic space, because if a finite index in the orthogonal group by Ziegler theorem, it's exactly equivalent to the fact that this is a finite covariant. So this is like if, so this just means this reflection group generated by X vectors. So, as you see in this lattice, just the only, this basis which I wrote you, so this is kind of canonical basis with this canonical Dynkin diagram, or sorry, Coxeter diagram. So just, so this canonical, I call it canonical basis. In this particular lattice, M, P, U, R, is crystallographic. Only in three cases, 237, 245, and 334. So E10 lattice is one of them. So just for E10 lattice, if you take the reflection group generated by reflection with 10 vectors, this is a finite index. In fact, this is just of index 2 in orthogonal group. But if you just extend it by one more vertex, you go like to E11 if you want. So it's still, the lattice is still crystalline of reflective. So the full reflection group, so it's a finite index, and there are many different crystallographic bases. There are many different For example, let me give you crystallographic. Yeah, by the way, of course, in the same lattice could be many, many different crystallographic bases. For example, this is crystallographic base, but this is another crystallographic base. You take this, and I write it Coxeter diagram. And this will be thick edge. So again, all vectors are of norm minus 2, but it's completely different. So what's the
curve? In general, if I take like some lattice and I take the reflection,
yeah, of course, it's an infinite.
There'll be no basis at all, right?
No, just you take any set and just try to see just this. Yeah, of course, if you take any group generated by reflection, you can take any group generated
by reflection. you can take the lattice and take all the reflections.
Yeah, you can take all of it. Yeah, this is just...
There's no way of choosing some distinguished set of them.
Yeah, we won't use recognition.
Yeah, because we can take the full reflection group and just this is a... Well, what is reflective? Because but if you have find a basis, then just this is just a, it's a reflective. So this is a diagram. And so there's another diagram, another basis. Again, joined by a. But I can see this. There is another big diagram. This is consist of 20 vectors. So this, of course, I think maybe since I really want to talk about Kremov exponential, but let me say this is just also algebraic geometry. In fact, very interesting. So in this lattice, any crystallographic basis, there is one-to-one correspondence in the lattice between. If you take a Enrico surface. So I already once mentioned what does it mean. So this is a quotient of K3 surface by fixed point free involution. So, and suppose you have a crystallographic basis in an Enrico surface, which you realize by classes of vectors of norm minus 2, but special vectors effective. So just your alpha will be, or your beta y, will be class of some curve. Called nodal curve, which like P1, smooth rational curve. And of course, norms must be equal to minus 2. Suppose you can find crystallographic basis, which realized by these generators, by these vectors, which are effective. Effective means they are really classes of algebraic curves, particular classes of Riemann spheres, like on Enrico surface. Then this implies that your automorphous group of Enrico surface is fine. In fact, there is a classification. If your field is C, so there is classification due to Conda, Shigeyuki Conda, which classifies all Enrico surfaces for which automorphism group is fine. So I'll mention later, in general, if you take any Enrico surfaces, automorphic group is very big. It's infinite group. In fact, it's a finite index in the orthogonal group of the lattice of retained. Okay. But there are some 7 types of Enrico surfaces for which you can find a basis realized by effective roots, if you call them. And because it's crystallographic, it implies that the automorphic group of Enrico surfaces is fine. So the first example of this Enrico surface, you find the automorphic group belong to Fana. So I published a paper in Cylinder Cleaning. This is the first example of Enrico surface. Find the automorphic group, and then 2 years later I went to Torino and they allowed me to look at the Fana archive and just look at all his papers and found the paper where he constructs. In his surface, you find the automorphic group, of course, like 100 years before me, right? Almost like 50 years, not 100, 50 years before me. And of course, but of course, the proof was really. I still don't understand his proof, but he guessed it right. And so just so if it's different surface, and so my surface comes in this list of 7 types, and Fana surface is different. So. And so there, for example, this kind of graph comes from one of the surfaces. But for over complex numbers, all the number of these roots which you have to take, the length of this crystallographic basis, for some kind of reason, so this number n which you take is always 20. In one case. In fact, in my case, it's 12.
What's the number n?
N is just how many verbs. Oh. How many verbs? Okay, let me see. Just in my case, picture diagram. In my case, it just will be.
So the point is that if you find ample curves, effective curves realizing these are the ample cones, is finite.
Yeah.
It's a finite volume quality.
Yeah.
So the automorphism group has to hide it.
This is Coxeter diagram for in my case. So here, okay, this is 6. Oh, no. All right. 5. Yeah. 6,
but I think we have one more row.
Yeah. So what this diagram is also realized, but only for characteristic of your tools. We don't have full complete classification in characteristic two, but just this is examples are not realized over complex numbers, but this case topographically is real. Okay, so let's go to, I didn't want to talk about it. Let's go to see why all this, how any,
yes, let's see why a person should care about any of these things.
Yeah, okay. You don't care about that.
Looks like a, to me, it looks like a, just a sporadic list of statements.
Well, that's based on what?
Let's see what you have to do.
Okay, so let me explain how this TPQL diagrams arise and whether it's not just for a charm, I think, but the theory of criminality.
Well, what's a sporadic list of statements?
Let's discuss it later.
Okay, so I realized this diagram in the following thing. So there's a, so I'll show you variety for which this diagram is like in general. So suppose you have a lattice M, and suppose you have a dual lattice. So this is just, you may assume the three different six of this free abelian group, is it? And this free abelian group somewhere. Do. So we just denote by like pairing for x like here is and like y here would be the same. So usual pairing is y related by x. Set of vectors here and some vectors here which are called like out of one. Okay. This belongs to there. This belongs to there. Then I can define reflections, for example, of it. So I just define the reflection with respect. Maybe I call it channel. Then I can define the reflection for x in the usual form. So I get 2, I think like a x, alpha, check. And if I put it here, just this second, this is the image. This one of one of M. So this is the alpha. So this is just this. I realized this kind of this situation. Yes, I assume also, of course, that alpha I check. Okay, so just how this is realized. So let me just first take the special cases, where just like, you know, P is equal to 2 for some reason. So this means I got this diagram, so just only take this round. This is how historically first this example arises. So I take the following variety. So I take Pn. I take P, so this is the R is equal to Q. I take PQ minus 1. And I take points here, they call it ZP. And the number of these points will be just Q plus 1. So this will be is a block.
So that's x. Or the block of the speed. I explained last time how to block points on the adjacent plane, but it doesn't matter. Just you take a point and then just kind of replace this point by the all tangent direction of this point. All tangent direction is like that. Because this will be a blowing up projective subspace of dimension 1. So what will be the cohomology? So what will be second cohomology? To each of these classes. So it's generated by the class of a hyperplane here. Take hyperplane here, go to dimension 1 linear subspace, and take preimage. Move it from this point if you want to take its preimage. It's isomorphic outside this point. Call this class V0. Now, over each point, you have a growth here, P, Q, minus 2. Okay? But if this is projective space, pick up here hyperplane. And call D1. So take Z1. And this is the basis. So every cosmology class, or just any, they're all algebraic, because it's such a simple space, is linear, it's free abelian, free sum of this one dimensional. Okay, now what will be in homology? So this, of course, dual lattice. So this is a code of the historical lattice, and this lattice. Okay, so what will be, give me the nature of classes which form a basis in homology of the simple space. Of course, so what will be if you don't blow up, what will we do to hyperplane? The line. Because line intersects hyperplane at one point, right? Okay. So you take this class of the line, so call this a key. Right? Okay. And now you start blowing up, of course. Now this is every, except from the line, there is a projective space. In its own projective space, you have a class of the line, right? Okay, so tell us this one. Okay. And this is almost like dual basis, but a kind of dual hyperbolically dual. Because if you're going to check that just your EI1. Sorry, let me just get this. What I'm doing? EI and E upper I is equal to negative one. Okay, so you can check. And of course, line and hyperplane intersect at one. So they kind of like this is two orthogonal bases, but like in hyperbolic sense. Right? Okay. Okay, so now let's find this head system what of roots or root bases and dual root bases. So now I take the phonic vectors, I take alpha. So this will correspond to here. My arm is now short. So p is equal to 2. So just I start with alpha 1. And alpha 1 will be equal to q minus 2 is 0 minus v1. Alpha 2 will be equal to E1 minus E2. And then so on, alpha again will be equal to E2 minus 1. E minus 1 minus 1. Okay. Well, now I take the dual. So this might be my roots. Now I take. Oh, sorry. So this must be the. Q is 0 minus Q minus 1. Okay, now let's take this one. You take just Q is 0 minus. And this will be the same. Alpha. Alpha. check. E divided by minus. And off the bound check. Okay, now let's compute. Let's see that this is a dual rule basis. Why are these conditions satisfied? Okay, let's intersect, for example, alpha 1 with alpha 1 check. So,
what is the label if you say that that is the.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, okay, but okay, let me check. So this is 1 minus, yeah, okay, that's Q minus, this minus. So this is realized by this rule basis. It's realized, and just when if you take this kind of, so now you can.
So these vectors realize the TPQR diagram.
Yeah. So this not when P is equal to 2. When P is equal to
2. Is equal to 2. You have a family of vectors, and they are reflections in them generate the vector.
Yeah. So now I think why this realizes this diagram, because of course this now vertex will be just if you take alpha I alpha check, right? This will be exactly response to either just it's a 1 or 0. Okay, so what's this, so what's the geometry behind this line? So we'll see how the. So I claim that if you take the Y group of TQR generated by reflections with respect to this thing, so this will be just mapped to some group of variational transformation of the some variety of points. So variety of so take this PQ minus 1, take n points of this, just this will be a choice of n points which will work. And consider after projective equivalence. So you take PGL. Again, this is, since this is birational transformation, so not every Y defined, I don't care about the genetic quotient, but it's kind of birational. And generically consider the intervals of points in Q in the space of Q minus 1 after projective equivalence. After projective equivalence. There will be representation of this group. This is a reflection group which acts in birational. The dimension of the space is just the dimension of the space is equal to this here. This is how many parameters. Q minus 1 has Q minus 1 parameters, will be M Q minus 1. The minus dimension will be this will be M squared minus 1.
If M should Q BGL.
Yeah. But, so in general, I don't want to do it because you see I'm already confused for this case P equal to 2. Just this diagram, if you want to admit any length of the sum, so it's a really similar thing, but you replace this. This is
minus. You take P Q minus 1 and take P minus 1 constant. Then take m copies of this and divide it by the group, which will be product of the group in general. What does it mean? Just to take the product of p minus 1 projective spaces and take endpoints, just all possible endpoints of this product, up to projective equivalence, of course, projective equivalence in each factor. Okay. So when p is equal to 2, then it just the simple.
And the first one itself, you could just have written bare of, again, projective space, isn't it, that quotient? I mean, after bare. It's rational bragging, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so how I do this representation? And now I just say what I can now interpret if I have a, so just, this is just a usual geometry of like configuration of points in projective space. If I take a point and take the stabilizer of this point, so like suppose you act by this transformation on the interval of points at the end, and when I apply this transformation, it becomes projective equivalent. Okay, so it's a fixed. Then just this will be interpreted as automorphous group of this block of endpoints of this projective space. And this is related to Kriemhoff transformations. Projective space, sorry. Okay, let me just say a few words about what is projective, what is Kriemhoff transformation. So I already mentioned several times about Kriemhoff. So algebraic geometry, Kriemhoff transformation defines as a not quite meant, but this way we have to be very careful. This is not every way defined, it's defined by a bunch of homogeneous polynomials. You take M homogeneous matrix, M, and you take M homogeneous polynomials, you take like point at 0, that's M, like projective coefficient. And plug in this point. And because it's homogeneous, everything is okay. So, of course, so these polynomials are assumed to be coprimes, so they're not divisible by carbonyl, by polynomials, typically larger than one. And of course, it's really clear that this map is not everywhere defined. And it's not defined when you plug in a point x, which is common zero of this polynomial. Right? So this point has to be kind of deleted. Because at this point, the map is not defined. This is called indeterminacy points. And in general, this is a very complicated set because it's given by m plus 1 algebraic equations in P, and it could be really consistent. Not necessarily reduced, but consists of many components. And Kriemhoff transformation is just a rational map. Kriemhoff transformation is just a rational map for which T is a multiple, which is also given by single formula, but of course, degree may be different. So degrees from algebraic degree of Kriemhoff transformation, degree of this polynomial. So all degree of polynomials are the same. When I take the inverse, of course, just inverse, I mean, just if you plug in, take up a composition, then just, of course, cancel by common divisor, it will be identity. It's zero, it's one identity. So the first kind of transformation, which arrived probably just as historic, you're all familiar with that, this is inversion transformation. So you take define it over reals, and then this will do it over complex now. So you take a sphere or circle of some radius, say radius 1. And then just you take a point, and this lies on the circle R, right? And then just take a point, which is 1, right? So this is just the usual reflection. And obviously it's not meant, right? Because it's not defined at the origin. So this is kind of the first historical example of Kriemhoff transformation, and so which is a you have to kind of see what happens with this. Of course, in algebraic geometry, this is just given by this following formula: because you take x, y, z, so you take like homogeneous couples, so x zero, x one, x two. Put them in this, and then send it to the x zero, x two, x one, x two. But maybe yes, I take x1, x0, x2, x0, x1 squared plus x0. the same transformation. So this is now transformation, and of course, whether it's not defined, so it's not defined, for example, when just you take x0 is equal to 0, right? Then this will be 0. And then this is equal to 0, right? So just things like x0 is equal to 0 is finite infinity here.
Wait,
x0,
there's no x0 in the last coordinate, so.
And then this too, so this will be like I and minus I, right?
Oh, I see. So there are 2 points there. Right.
And of course, the other way it's not defined, at the point x1, x2 is equal to 0. Kind of work. We have kind of this triangle on the plane. And of course, this is exactly what's the two Jacob and Jay thing. But this is 2 points at the infinity of the circle, right? If you take a circle, take a like of infinity. Of course, the circle intersects at 2 points. And then, of course, at these 2 points, this is they don't make sense over here, but over complex numbers, this is what it is. So this is an inversion transformation. This is an inversion transformation. So I want to see, so another transformation is just what we call the standard Riemann transformation. So this is transformation which is given by, again, if you take an affine coordinate, so just affine coordinates, you divide by x0, then of course, not by x1 over x0, x and x2 by x0. This is, of course, exactly my formula. So this will be x squared plus y squared, y squared plus y squared. And this is exactly inversion. So if you just see, measure the distance by taking x squared plus y squared, it's exactly what it does. Okay, so this is affine transformation. Of course, another very simple affine Riemann transformation, which is kind of clearly inverted, will just invert the coordinate. This is called standard. Quadratic transformation. Quadratic transformation means the degree of this polynomial is equal to 2. So that's for inversion, degree of polynomial is equal to 2. So this example of quadratic transformation. Because this is can be homogenized. In homogeneous coordinates, this is x0, x1, x2. So x2, x1, x2. And homogenized by dividing by x0 going to a fine coordinate to do exactly this job. So where does this transformation is defined? Also 3 points. Because you see it's kind of difficult to see where it's not defined, looking only at the fine equation. You have to projectivize it and see the common roots of this equation. Of course, so it's kind of clear. These three reference points will be exactly like 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 0, and 1. Will be just exactly points where it's not defined. So how to make sense of this transformation? And so why? What's the relation to this hyperbolic quantity? So if you have any kind, how you deal with this kind of things if it's not defined anyway? The clue for this is just to consider the graph of this map. You see, though its map is not defined, but you consider an open set where it's defined. There will be some Zariski open set where it's defined, but like throwing away all the zeros of this polynomial. And so then you consider kind of graph restriction set on kind of an open set. And this, of course, lies in Pn cross Pn, like throwing away U and Pn, but of course, this is C. Pn. Okay? So what you do is you close the Zariski topology. This is algebraic variety. This kind of open subsidiary, open subset of projective variety. You take the smallest closed algebraic subvariety, which contains T. And this is kind of such. This is the graph. So the graph of T. Take the graph of T. It's a closed. And now this sits in Pn cross Pn. And of course, it has two projections. And so on the open subset where everything is okay, this plays the role of the graph, but on the bad subset, it does something else. So what you have to kind of consider this. Suppose now if point is bad. Suppose it doesn't make sense to plug in this point in this equation because so will be zeros, right? Okay. So then just pre-image of this will be some subvariety. This
it's all closed map, it's all projective variety because it's closed in the projective space. Okay, now you can take this projection, right, and that will be the image. For example, we can be able to say what's the image of this point. Okay, so where does this point go? So by this formula, go to nothing, to goes to zero, zero, right? But if you take this approach, everything's all right. You take the graph, take pre-image of this point, and then see the image under this map. So it turns out that's very what, in this particular case, what happens, this point goes to this line, this point goes to this opposite line, and this point goes to this line. Okay? If you do the inversion transformation, it's a different. So this point will go to the line at infinity. But this line, this point will go to this line, and this point will go to this line. And of course, this is a evolution. So this is the two of these examples of evolution. So now we can really say, and in fact, we also can say what will be, something will be blown down. So blown down means that something that blows up under the inverse transformation. So like, for example, these things which you have here just will be accepted from device. They may go again to, like, for example, n is equal to 2. So take the preimage of the point as a curve, right? And this curve may go to a curve here, of course, right? But maybe blown down to a point.
If you take cohomology or say divisor and pull that does that give the action?
Yeah. Exactly. So for example, in this case, like for example, of course, I said the point goes to here, but it's in vertical, or just transformation of order two. This line will be blown down to this point. This line will be blown to this point, and this line will be blown down. So now you can really make sense just to talk about this point. But now this also suggests to take this to see what's the usual kind of categorical thing. If you just suggest, you see what happens to cosmology. Okay. So you see just, and let me just kind of stick to.
Sorry, let me ask a question. I've never had a sense of where the TPQR Wilder's fit inside the Hermann groups. Hermann groups are huge. Are these somehow?
Yeah, I'll
distinguish
this. Try to explain. Okay, so let's just say again for simplicity, because I think for higher, we can do it for higher dimension too, but I think this is, well, let me just start with the plane. This is kind of simple. So this is kind of also surface. This is a birational map. So this map, because outside of the, because it's a graph of an invertible map, and outside there's bad points, this is 1 to 1. Okay. So this is birational map. Of course, this thing could be not very nice. It's a surface, but it may have a lot of singular points, okay. So, and these singular points come from the condition that just, sometimes I give you points, but like, I take a point, but now I take infinite near point. Yes. I blow up, and then I take next point already and then blow up. This one called infinite near point. So this is a, if you take this kind of points, so okay, now I think that this will be the, like, now this is my point, but this map is not defined. So I write down the basis of this. So this will be just blown up at this point. So this will, suppose it's just non-secret case, just for this case. So this will be just blown up at this point. So then I can write down the basis of cosmology, which I just told you. So now I take my H2 of this graph, of this surface X. And this will be like Z0. Let's see how many points. This is the question. But now you look at the second projection and do the same thing. Just there will be some points here. And when n is equal to 2, you can prove this will be the same number of points. So this doesn't happen in the higher dimensional space. So the number of points where this map is not defined and the number of points which are inverse map is not defined, it's the same cardinality. Okay? So then I can do it again. And now you take this. So I call this basis genetic. Such a special base in second cosmology group which arises from law. But now I can find another base. Right? And now there will be matrix, exchange of the bases, right? And then I create the matrix, yeah. It's called characteristic matrix of this transformation. So this matrix of, so just you write down easier the matrix. Okay. And this is the kind of the beautiful result of Cantor. Says this matrix is an orthogonal transformation of hyperbolic space. In fact, it belongs to Coxton. So this matrix belongs, if you write down this root basis, which I wrote here, then it's only belong to, and this is of course case 2, 3, n minus. Now this is just, this matrix is just a characteristic matrix. Now this is a so this is a remarkable factor just it's known since the 19th century. So just every time you, this is called characteristic, every, this is the important, the most important thing describing the Cremona transformation, one single transformation. You write down this matrix and then just, there will be, and now what is this matrix? So let's write down this matrix for this standard Cremona transformation. You can do it also here.
But is there a way to get it as a, having the group actually act on a space?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. No.
This is kind of weird, so it's acting by changing space.
Group doesn't act on the space, it acts only on the cognomic. So if I fix one, I think if I fix one basis, P1, then just the disk at marching. Okay. Then other, every other Cremona transformation will define another basis, define this matrix, and this gives you a representation of this constant. So what's this, for example, matrix in this standard Cremona transformation? Look, this was my class, E0. This like point will be x1, x2, x3, right? Okay, so remember when I blow up, this was just this, this is point, this is exactly the fiber over this map, over the point x1. Okay? And where does it go? So it goes to here, but what is this class? So just this is called this class now E1. And then goes to class of the line, and the, because it passes through this point, it will be minus E2 minus E2. Because this line, the class of this line, if we take the pre-image, full pre-image under this block, it just consists of this this class. And so just E2, E3, and E0. So, but if you take just the line, throw away this except for the minus, you have to subtract E2 minus E3. So then E2 maps to E0 minus E1 minus E3. E3 maps to E0 minus E2 minus E2. And of course, E0, class of the line, so what's the pre-image of a line? This is your formula. The linear combination, this is like your vice. The pre-image of a linear combination of this must be conic. Because it's equation of degree 2. So just so. But conic, which passes through the 3 points, so this will be 2E0. Minus E1, minus E2, minus E3. You can check, for example, that inner product is preserved. Okay? So now this is your matrix. So this is your matrix. So it will be just 2 minus 1 minus 1 for E0. 1, 0, minus 1, minus 1. 1, 0. This will be your matrix. And this is a matrix which preserves this inner product defined by this, for example, this case just there. For this is just. So this is in fact reflection. So this matrix is corresponding. So if you take this vector alpha is equal to E0 minus E2 minus E2 minus E3. This is my first alpha. Remember, this one is this alpha 1. So the square is just 1, and this is square negative 1, so it's minus 2 vector. And if you do S alpha 1, it's just the matrix of this in this basis. E0, E1, E2, E3, just your matrix. So now you see that your reflection with respect to this alpha 1, so this vector corresponding to this vertex, okay? So it acts on the basis of this blow up. By this matrix, which is a reflection matrix.
Okay. So I feel like I missed the. You start off with the basis for the original E2 blown up at
x1 and x2. Right. And now it acts on this basis.
So
thanks on Kamal.
So the bidirectional transformation is not.
Acts on this x.
It doesn't
act on that.
It doesn't act on it.
No. It acts only on the cognomical.
doesn't act on it. But now let's see how it acts on a set of points in projective space. Because when I wrote you this presentation, this was different. I didn't say that it acts on this blow-up, but it acts on the configuration of points in this plane, in this example. Like this would be projective space. You see, that's what we do. Just look at this diagram. Okay, this is my case, like one copy. Don't do it. By the way, this case was considered by Arthur Cole in his work, like 1917. But so he never extended this rule, like this R, but he can so that the interpretation of the TPQR in this for the product of projective space, this is a required. And this one. So just okay. So let's see. So how it does on the points. Okay. So let's look at this diagram. Forget about this. And I don't say, for example, on the plane. But so like my diagram will be like. Just this thing. So it's really extension. This is like E. Diagram. So like take n equal to 8. This is finite time diagram. But you can take any. Okay, so just so tell me how it acts on the. So now take n points, take this one, I take projective plane, and take order. We need the order also, because order is important because it just gives me a basis of the flow. And now we consider this point after projective plane. So I consider orbits of n points in projective plane. Okay. So what should I do, I think? I take my n points. In the plane. Because it's a up to projective curve, so just generically, because everything will be barrage. I mean, I assume if my points just 4 points I can fix. I can make them like points of 0, 0, 1. 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, and 1, 0, 0, and 1, 1, 1. It's all projective. All projective covers. So 4 points can be always fixed by projective group. And then just I have the rest, so this one can be four points are fixed. And the next point, let's see how many points you have there. So now I want to take element of the reflection group and want to assign to the set some other set, or the orbit, of course. So what I said is because I fix the 3 points, I do the following thing. I assign to this reflection the following thing. I take this standard Primonov transformation, which I wrote with this formula. I keep this point untouched and send them to the same point by definition. But there's 3 points untouched because this was the okay, that's an determinacy point, so this Cremona transformation. And then I take my Cremona transformation T and start applying to other. And then I get another set. Again, everything comes to projective. So then I was able to assign something to this vertex, right? So what should I do in this equation? Well, of course, you can guess. If I forget about this, this is Lincoln diagram of permutation code, right? Okay, SM, right? So what I do, of course, I start permuting. Because it's n points taken with order, right? Any other reflection is just a transposition. I just permute pairs of this point. And now you check that just this is kind of this always generator of relations in the Coxer of a preserve. So as soon as you gave the image of generators, you're going to check this relations are preserved, then you're done. Because every such transformation will be afforded two. For example, this standard Cremona transformation afforded two, so this is okay. Permutation, of course, afforded two transpositions. And then just you check this kind of relation here, this, and then that everything is over.
For 2, 3, n, right?
Yeah, this is for 2, 3. So in the general case, if you have projective space of any other dimension, you do exactly the same thing, because we have n log of a standard Cremona transformation. When you dimension, just in your curve. The same kind of transformation. Only this time it will be given by homogeneous polynomials of degree equal to, like if you're in PM, this will be degree and this one. So for example, next time it will be cubics passing from the 4 points of the trader. Okay. And this, which double points this trade and contains the edges. So this is standard transformation exists in every space. And so what I will be able to do just I take now any of this kind of diagram and start acting on the points in the higher dimensional spaces. So what Mukayev done, because he used needed this to apply to this Hilbert Fortin problem, I think. So how did it get diagrams? So this will be the same thing. But I think I take points in the problem of projective spaces. So just, and then I can make give meaning to this other reflection. Okay, so this is very pretty, I think. I didn't know that. So this is really very pretty. And then the what's good about it? So this is the construction of this mnemonic. So let me suggest maybe I'll stop in 15 minutes and no break. Right? Is it okay? Or maybe I'll try to check if you hold. So this really gives me really nice. So this is kind of called Kremlin transformation. And this is ghost. You see now it acts by rationally. This is a higher dimensional space. Okay, so it acts on this set of points only by rationally. Okay. So just you take a rational group of this variety like X put you. Example this, but it's just usually going to be the so this is blow up of Q plus R points and then P minus 1 cardis of a Q minus 1. This one. You may ask, of course, so what kind of actions, for example, where they can. This is discrete group. X is a huge group by rational transformation of a higher dimensional algebraic variety. But you can interpret, for example, the first question is it favorable? For example, is the element here in this reflection group which always transforms n points to project an equilibrium? And of course, the examples are just, for example, take 2, 3, 5, or 2, 3, 4. And this example was called the evolution, is called this kind of Geiser inversion. And it's a Bertin inversion. So this is not favorable. There will be some elements. So in fact, this was elemented was very clear because if you take this lattice, like example E7, E8 in this case. So if you take a topmost group of E7, a wide group of E7, then distinguish from other things that contains plus minus one. So you can write down negative one, negative identity map, as a product of reflections. Okay, so like in E6, you cannot do that. So, of course, there's always a total transformation, x vector goes to minus x, but it's not a product of reflection. But in this line, you see 7, 8, it is. Okay? And so if you take this as an element here in the corresponding Y group, so this gives you transformation on, like in this case, 7 points in P2, in this case, 8 points in P2, which replaces 7 points by projective equilibrium. So this is a famous guide that I've been here. So for what we don't know in general. So the question is we don't know what it is for the, there are some examples of this in infinite case too, I think, but we don't know. But of course, second question is how do you interpret stabilizer? So suppose you have an element in the reflection group. And suppose this Cremona is your stabilizer set of stabilize means, of course, up to projective equivalence. Then I think it's just a go over this definition. This implies that V defines element in the automorphic group of this blow up. The blow up of this part. For the plane. If this is not a plane, if it's a, sorry, take E minus 1, if it's not a plane, it's not quite automorphic, it's what we call pseudo automorphic. So it's kind of a rational automorphism on this variety of the gluon, which is a codimensionally the throwaway closed subset of codimension larger than 2, then it's variable. Okay, for surfaces, just real automorphism. So now just this kind of, you will be interpreting that just as a, so just some elements of your Y group, which is defined. But sometimes there is a special subset of points. You just take a point in subset which satisfies certain special geometrical condition, and then this will be invariant with respect to its representation. And then will be big term. It will be a very big term. Okay, this is what Kolmogorov called special subsets. So let me get another feature. Let me give you the two remarkable subsets. One of the subsets already mentioned in my colloquium. So,
and you have a picture where you interpret these as preserving Apollyon?
Yeah, because this is just, this will be just, because you can, you blow up n points and then apply this different blowing down, okay? But this is projective equilibrium. So this means it's induced by automorphism.
No, but I was wondering if, you know, like in the K3 picture, you have these automorphisms of the lattice, and the ones which happen to preserve the polygon are automorphisms.
Yeah.
Is there a picture like that here?
Better. In some examples, right? Okay, let me just give you the examples. So just I take n is equal to, I take two termites. Okay, both examples, but they're related to the termites. So this means I just take 10 points. So like, for example, in the plane. This is what this set is. So remember, if you have my colloquium, you take a curve from degree 6 with 10 nodes. Nodes ordering double point at this point. So just consider, in other words, consider the set of all 10 points on P2, some variety of tentacles of points on P2. Which you will be able to pass a curve of degree 6 at every point as a double point. This is a three conditions. So like 10 points depends on the 12 parameters, right? So if you take 10 curves, dimension is equal to 10, but again, after projective equivalence, after projective equivalence is equal to 12, right? Okay. But this is sets, global sets. Is equal to 9. So there are three conditions for that. So if you give me 10 points of projective plane, if I want to find a sexic with 10 nodes, this will be rational sexic, with 10 nodes at this point, then there's a three conditions. But they are not linear conditions, of course. There's some kind of algebraic. It turns out if you blow up this 10 points of this nodes of this sexic, this is what we call a Cobble series. Of P2 at the 10 nodes of the Cobble set. So then there will be the huge kernel. So now, and this kind of clear, look, if you apply the Cremona transformation, just you'll see just this kind of set goes to itself. It's very easy to see what's the image of the sextic under standard Cremona transformation. It's also sextic, with maybe some other 10 points. So, just, so this set is invariant with respect to its representation, but there's a huge kernel if you restrict only to this set. So the kernel of this representation restricted to this CD, I think this is 2, 3, 8, right, 2, 3, 7, okay. Restricted to this Cobble set.
You mean to this nine-dimensional variety?
Yeah, no, this has nothing to do with the variety, this is just a, so, cosmologies, because cosmology of this, so, in fact, what we, so let's say we see the representation, not only of cosmology, but orthogonal and canonical class, because we take its roots, and dual roots, and so only take the lattice spanned by the roots, they're all orthogonal and canonical. So this is just really a subgroup of finite integers, take this group 2, 3, 7, two-level complete subgroup. So this means you take all transformations. Such that if you thinking you have to really subtract the, so then to the two, something. That makes a difference in this way. Okay. So just like mod, large is taking multiplies to it, XMB. So this, of course, sits on the whole 237. And this is normal subgroup, and this orthogonal component will be just this simple group. Orthogonal group. But dimension 10 or field of two elements, and because field of two elements, they come in even and odd orthogonal group, so this will be even. So this is a realization of this finite index subgroup of this reflection group as a group of automorphism of this Kolmogorov surface. So, and this, I finish here. An example m equal to 3, you do similar thing with the same lattice E10, but this time you even more interesting. You take m 10 points, and you make the following condition. There exists a symmetric matrix four by four matrix, whose entries will be just linear forms in the Cartan's projective space. Linear forms. So when you set up the term, it's a quartic surface. It's called, by K, it's called quartic symmetric. It's symmetric matrix, sorry. So just, if you take kind of generically this linear symmetric matrix with a linear force, you find that this quartic equation has 10 nodes. 10 ordinary double nodes, okay? So not every quartic surface with 10 nodes can be written this way. But again, there is some variety of this 10-dimensional kind of varieties up to projective equivalence of 10 points, which you realize as a 10 nodes of quartic symmetry. So what you do, just you do the same thing. Just now you take your lattice will be your, in this case will be lattice. Sorry. So this will be lattice. No, I think I said different lattice. Different lattice. Two, four, six. So then again, so this is contains the, take this Y group rejects on the, like, one of this formation of tentacles, and it will be just kernel of this presentation, which will be just also finite index. Not quite two-level concrete subgroup, but it just extends by two-level. Somehow this quotient will be just subjective group F2. And you describe this also subgroup. So it's again, that's better. This is just finite index subgroup of the whole huge, this is infinite Coxeter group. And so realized as a group of automorphisms will blow up of the 10 nodes of quartic symmetry. Okay, so let me just summarize what I tried. So to tell you, well, it's a whole lecture to next. So there are like two worlds, this hyperbolic world and just algebraic geometry world. And just if you take some kind of object from the hyperbolic world, like for example, this is the main object, and just the group of isometries and, for example, reflection groups which act on this hyperbolic spaces. So they have the kind of the, you see them in algebraic geometry, they are realized as either as groups of Cremonitor's formation of some spaces, or group of automorphism of some algebraic varieties, surfaces of algebraic varieties of higher dimension. And just then, conversely, just you try very often to express the answer in algebraic geometry if you like, face the problem to describe a group of automorphisms of some variety. You want to kind of described in terms of some kind of reflection groups, and for this you use the machinery of our body space and machinery of people who spend a lot of time studying this information. Thank you very much.
Any questions or offers?
So these reflection groups, each one will have this fundamental polygon. And is that the neph cone of the general blowup?
In this case.
In those particular cases?
Yeah, for example, like in the Kobo case, yeah. The
but how about even just in general?
What do you have to do?
Maybe the question makes sense at least, right?
Because this is a really ophthalmotric group, just there, just there.
I mean, at least it acts on the right thing, right? It acts on the cohomology of the blow-up.
Yeah, but it's like for generic, for example, Kobo surfaces, the neph cone is just everything. So there are no minus two curves. And it's just, this is the entire ophthalmic group. This is why it's the whole ophthalmic group. So for the Kobo surface, of course, it's just a rational surface, but so just you see that just there are no minus two curves there. So just like the neph cone is just the whole thing, I think. So for generic one, and this is why this group is so big. Right? And this kind of Enrique surface, the same thing. So if you take generic Enrique surfaces, there are no minus two curves, there is the neph cone, which is the epoch cone, and this way you get this ophthalmotric group. In fact, this is the answer also too. Take general Enrique surface, this will be ophthalmotric group. So this is finite index subgroup in this Coxeter group of the three cells. But you start putting rational curves, and the group becomes smaller. Because part of this reflection now becomes reflection of the vectors, which are effective curves. You can't reflect effective curve by ophthalmorphism because it goes to minus. Okay? You have to kind of discard this kind of thing. So the group becomes smaller and smaller. You have to kind of so take this reflection group and throw away all reflections which correspond to reflections on the effective side. Then groups become smaller, and this is what we do. That's exactly. And then finally, it will be so many kind of minus two curves, so just you almost kill the whole group. And on the left will be finding group. And this is examples of Kondo, seven types of one. And they can search to find the ophthalmotric group. Okay, because as soon as you, and the same is here, by the way. As soon as you have some special position on this point, this is kind of good special position. But what's called, still what we call unknown. Never kind of all these classes which I described, all these roots which come in this root system, they're never effective. But become effective, this makes you can put some kind of example. You take 6 points and put them on a conic. Mm-hmm. You don't expect them to be on a conic. But as soon as you put them on a conic, the class which you get will be like 2E0 minus P1 and minus P6. And you see, this is also minus 2 vector. And this is one of your roots in your root system. But it happens to be effective because it's represented by a class of the proper transform of a conic and a blow up. So you can't reflect with respect to this group. You can't interpret that much. So this kind of roots is bad, but this kind of makes groups smaller and more interesting. Okay, so just there are a lot of, this example is what compares another weak dependent surface, weak or similar dependent surface. So this is kind of generic. This is conditioned to be 10 nodes of symmetroids, are not this kind of condition. It's more interesting, more geometric condition, not being nodes of the 10 nodal theory. But this is condition which you, if you put this condition, then just everything destroys the information.
So this is random, but root 10 plus of F2 happens to be a maximal subgroup of the sporadic reflection of F2.
Yeah.
Ever heard of any connection?
No. Now this can be easy because this is because this group is just the lattice of rank. 2, 3, 7, 1 is just of rank 10. This is 10 rank. And just say if you take that twice of this thing, right? Take 10 more, this will be a 10 to the and if you take quadratic 4, it goes in the 4. Just take it like mod 2. That's the beam of quadratic 4. And somehow every group which kind of acts here, and this is just, this is how a mod is.
More questions?
What is this? I didn't quite get the definition. What is W237F2?
That's, you have that down there, W of X minus X equals 2Y.
So it was double.
And what is the thing with the 2 in parentheses?
This is two-level congruence. This is just consists of all isometries in the, from this group, which sends the vector.
Trivial mod 2.
Trivial mod 2. Mod 2 level lattice.
Ah, just trivial mod 2. Yes, any Y.
Yeah. That's like a usual congruence group. So the X identity mod this.
So you're saying that the quotient of this by the sub of the whole thing by that subgroup is this O plus?
Yeah.
That's just what we're saying.
Yeah, because this is exactly the action on this, the whole group acts on this lattice, but it also preserves, of course, twice of this lattice.
What's the interpretation of this quotient in terms of your markers of the order?
There's an interpretation, not the quotient, but if you take this kind of lattice,
you take
eta. The quotient.
Right, that's the subgroup of this birational automorphism group.
No, but this is a group in the curve. Okay, so this is
exactly. So the quotient is in the image. Right? So
yeah, so this is kind of the group X, but this is just in the curve of the image.
Right, so what is the O plus realized as in the image? The O plus of 10.
So this Y goes mapped to this O plus.
Right.
And that's good. The kernel will be just exactly.
Right. Well, how do you, what are they act like? What is the geometric interpretation of this? The fact that you get an O plus of NF2 in here?
No, I get O plus because, no, I think there's no interpretation because I know that this group is big for quadratic form, this vector space with dimension 10 or F2, and the crypt quadratic form because it comes from quadratic form, not from the tail. So there's no any kind of geometric. There is a geometric picture, but I don't want to go. It's just more complicated. This is just.
Okay. And what is a symmetroid again?
So you take a symmetric 4x4 matrix whose entries are linear forms.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So when you take the determinant of this matrix, then it becomes equation of degree 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a 4x4 matrix, right? So this is a, now you get yourself a homogeneous equation of degree 4. In four variable, this is a surface of degree 4. But you see, the values of t, there will be 10 points, but if I get these points, the rank of this matrix will go down. The term is co-rank 1. But with the special 10 values of these points, the co-rank of this matrix becomes, rank becomes 2. Okay? And there will be exactly 10 points if you take engineering. Okay? And then just, this is just, so this point automatically must be single coordinate squared. This kind of part of this general, not the right journal, called theory of determinant of varieties. So, for example, Kummer surface is like that. But Kummer surface is rather special. So, just there will be 16 points. 10 of them come in this way. They're responsible for dropping the rank of the matrix. But there will be extra 6 points. Okay. So Kummer surface is also vortex symmetric, but special vortex symmetric. But if you take generic vortex symmetries, you don't put kind of any condition except the only singular points arises from the dropping of the rank of this matrix. This theory kind of applies.
It seems like you were saying when you have special conditions on this part, you get a smaller automorphism group?
Yeah, because some of these signals will be not realized. For example, there will be some of this reflection can supposed to reflecting with respect to the effective class. It's not realized by automorphism because can set the morphic sets effective class, curve to the curve, right? Okay, so.
It's counterintuitive, isn't it?
I would have imagined that when you get something very special, it has more symmetry.
Oh, no, that's not true. Right.
You expect that.
I also expect that, just, but I think we see, for example, in the Ricci surfaces, it's a 10 dimensional modular space. It's really irreducible. So there's a space which I can. The parameter, 10 parameters, and all parameterizes this in AQ surface. They're all in one family. And you start specializing. Generically, automorphism will be infinite. But you specialize to the point that the automorphism becomes smaller. It's the same for the blow up of points of people. So,
you did say something before, like in your curve lecture, that for these blowing up in 10 or more points, and the automorphism group is true.
Yeah, if you take generic one, but this is a special one. That's true. If you take generic endpoints of blow up, I think there will be no automorphism group, so it means the stabilizer is always trivial.
Yeah.
Okay. But there will be some special configuration points that stabilize this non-trivial. So this is what we're looking for, such points. But in this action, this non-trivial stabilizes.
Okay.
So and this is an example of two conditions. Two conditions like alpha and then the, so that's a condition, for example.
So here it's completely opposite. The general one,
yeah.
No one more. It's more like you expect.
But you were also saying that under some special conditions, some of these reflections do disappear.
Yeah, they disappear. For example, like I said, this, for example, put 6 points on a coin. And if, this is a root. It's a vector of norm minus two. Okay, so you may try to reflect and expect this. Yes. But your action, if it will be realized by ectomorphism, then it means this class of this coin goes to minus the coin.
Yeah.
But it's a possible ectomorphism sets algebraic variety to algebraic variety.
So, but in the case of this,
so this is now this inflection should be it's not realized by the morphic improvement. Yeah, in this action, doesn't realize here. This branch, not a ferocity. There are two things which you have to some people confuse. So one is just this kind of huge representation, right? So I'm talking about this thing. So because it's X on this kind of set of points, a variety of configuration of points. And stabilizing this action depends on the automorphism of one particular block.
Yeah.
This is a variety of points, because if you take a variety of 6 points on P2, this is a kind of parameterizes the cubic surfaces of the projective equivalence. Okay. And so you can consider this a representation of this. In this case, it will be a y group of 6. You look at this numbers, this will be just y group of 6. And then just said, this will be four-dimensional space. Okay. So then this gives you a representation of finite group, in this case, finite group, y group of 6. It's my group of birational transformation of four-dimensional space to a modular space of cubic surfaces. And so just if you take 6 points in special one, then just this is, the whole my group is not represented here because one less reflection can act on one less variety. So I have to discard this kind of thing. So this will be indeterminacy point of this section.
So you have a special magnitude of 6 points. Your point was that you don't have the whole group.
Yeah,
because
the, yeah, that's right. Because then just
it's
an indeterminacy.
So you don't get a whole
yeah.
So for the 10 points, going back to the 10 points blowout, for the generic configuration, you have no automorphism. But then there, the more the special configuration you give, the more automorphism. Yeah.
In fact, this is kind of the most interesting case. You may ask, what will be the set of 10 points, such as the group of automorphisms, the finite index in the Y group? Because every automorphic group of this blow-up of 10 points will be represented in this one group of 237. And ask what will, in effect, for any endpoints, any endpoints, and ask when the automorphic group of this blow-up in the one corresponding to like 1, 2, 3, or finally, this is like a missing thing. And so we prove the theorem of Serge Cantat.
By the way, he's coming from hyperbolic geometry. He's a dynamical system. This can be combined to work.
Neo-algebraic geometer, he's a hyperbolic geometer. And we prove that this is the only example. So if you really want to really find configuration of points in projective plane, any number of points, we look for infinite groups of this large number. So just so. Then just, and if, say just maximum possible automorphism group. So what does it mean? It can be bigger than that. It's always represented this group. So it can be as big as that. Okay, you say maximum if it's finite happens to be finite index here. For some n. Okay. And if this is happens, n must be equal to 10. An example is just this example of 10 nodes of Russian. So this is considered one of my best work. So it's a champs. So this was really an asking in the beginning of our century whether there exists some other special sets with this kind of property that the automorphous group is as big as possible, just finite index of this reflection. He knew that all, I think, but he didn't kind of say it in the right way because it was archaic language, but it was all. But so this.
In this group, W2372, you have a forward arising as a kernel, so that's not one of these things arising here.
It's not necessarily like a realistic kernel because not necessarily must be normal subgroup. Though you can really prove that this automorphic group must be like all this normal.
there's two completely different ways of realizing this W237, either acting on this blow-up of P2 or this XPQR.
Yeah.
And in one case, you get these fine index kernels.
Yeah, because you really see it as, because, as I said, stabilized for mid-interpreted automorphic groups. So this kind of construction gives you two things. First, it gives you action on this discrete group on the configuration space. And the second, it interprets stabilizers as automorphic group or pseudo-automorphic group or blow-up of the corresponding points. This is good.
Okay.
Yeah, both ways. That's okay. So if you study this thing, just look.
Yeah, I have two on before.